This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
And then sit here for not too long, inshallah, to listen to something which, inshallah, hopefully benefits myself and all of us, inshallah ta'ala. I would like to thank the masjid here, the Melbourne Grand Mosque, mashallah. I came in, when I was coming into the masjid, I said to the brother, mashallah, this masjid looks so beautiful from the outside. Inshallah, hopefully it's beautiful inside as well. And it is physically, and Allah make it beautiful also, and hopefully it is spiritually as well, inshallah. With the prayers and with the iman and with the taqwa of the people who are attending and frequenting this masjid. May Allah reward our imam here, the sheikh, and also the people in charge of the masjid for facilitating this, and also those people who've invited me, the Zuhud Institute. This is my first time here in Australia, the continent or the country of Australia. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. I would like to just talk about something which affects all of us. And it's a reminder for myself, and for a reminder for you as well. One of the greatest challenges, if not the greatest challenge, of the current times. A challenge, when we say challenge, what is a challenge? Challenge is something which is beneficial, which is something we need to use, which is in front of us, something which we can't escape. But it has a lot of pitfalls and lots of dangerous things within it. That's what you call a challenge. You know, one of the translations for the word in Arabic, fitna, is a challenge, one of the translations. The word fitna in Arabic is a very comprehensive, very deep word, very sophisticated word. You can't really translate it with one word in English. There are lots of terms in Arabic that you can't translate them with one English word. And fitna is one of those. A trial, a test, a challenge. So fitna is not always bad. Fitna is a test. It's a trial, it's a challenge. It's something that you can't avoid, but at the same time, there are a lot of pitfalls. It's very dangerous, very delicate, very dangerous, and a person could fall into a lot of harms. That's what we call something that's fitna. Test, challenge, trial, fitna. So what is that greatest test? One of the greatest tests, or one of the greatest challenges of all, what is the greatest challenge of the current times? What is it? I'm just trying to get your attention so that, you know, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam used to say, "Ala ukhbirukum? Shall I not tell you something?" And then the Sahaba said, he would get their attention, draw their attention. This is one of the etiquettes for the teachers, whether in the school or wherever. One of the methods of teaching is, shall I not inform you of something? Shall I tell you something that's so amazing or so beneficial or so disastrous or so dangerous? So you get the attention, catch the attention, and then you mention it. There's a book written in Arabic called Al-Rasul al-Mu'allim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, written by a great sheikh of recent times, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, rahimahullah ta'ala, which is translated, I think, into English, Methods of Teaching, Prophetic Teaching. And he describes all the ways of teaching. And if those of you who are in teaching, whether in school, university, college, or whatever, it's good to read that book, Methods of Teaching. So anyway, I still haven't told you what that challenge is. Ala ukhbirukum, shall I not tell you? And I'm sure you guys know. Let me ask, I'm sure the first person will say the correct answer. What is that greatest challenge, as brother? Now, you know the answers you're going to give me, none of them are going to be the incorrect answers, because they are all challenges. But the one I am looking for, that's one deception of dunya, yes.
Changing society.
Okay, you can say that as well. It's a good challenge, but not the one I have in mind right now.
Internet.
What were you saying? Raising, that is a very important, and I was thinking of that as well. But this is connected to what the brother said here. The online world, the internet, the smartphone, social media, Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, TikTok, which TikToks you're just ticking and talking away your life. That's what TikTok is, TikToking away your life. We are living in a time where we've experienced two revolutions in our lifetime. Normally, if people experience one revolution in their life, that is huge. People don't face even one revolution. The post-industry world, that was like a revolution. Some people lived before and then afterwards, industrial changes in the world. That was like a massive revolution. Some of you here have probably only faced the second of the two revolutions. Some of the older ones, like myself, and I can see some people here, we've experienced two major revolutions. First revolution was the actual advent of the internet. I remember living in a world, a pure world, in which we had no internet. Anyone else relate to with me on this? Yes, mashallah, in the 80s, when I was growing up. If we got stuck on the middle of the road, we had to like go somewhere to a telephone box and put some 10 pence in the UK coins and 20 pence coin and make a phone call. I sometimes take my son, I used to take him and say, look, this is the telephone box we used to go sometimes. And this is how life was back in the day. There was no internet. Laptops. There was no such thing as laptops. Computers were in some offices, maybe big, massive, giant machines. People used to use telefax and fax machines and things like that. First revolution was the actual advent of the internet. Even though it might be in existence in the world, like the online from 80s or something, or 90s, I think, but properly, the normal average person became accustomed to and started using the internet was around the late 90s, if I'm correct, late 90s. I remember I made my first email in 2001. It was a bit late. People were using it just before that. I was studying somewhere in the Arab world. And I remember that before that, I used to write some letters home, back home to the UK. Before that, I was studying in the subcontinent. And at that time, it was just letters. I would write letters. And then when I went to study in the Arab world there, I remember that one of my siblings, my sister mentioned to me that there's something called email. So what is an email? We go to the internet cafe and then, you know, this is like at. It was like before at was just like at the masjid. What's this? At. It's a new thing. I didn't even know how to type. It was very, you know, getting used to the internet. That was the first revolution, a big revolution as it is. And then the second revolution, which is the advent of the this thing which is in everyone's pocket. What did the brother say? Fitna machine. The not so smartphone. Who gave it the name, the smartphone? You know, in Arabic, they say smartphone, al-hatifu dhaki. In the Arab world, they call it al-hatifu dhaki. One of my teachers says, you should call it al-hatifu al-ghabi. Now, not so smartphone. Now, the issue is that this is a double-edged sword. This is what fitna is. There's benefit as well. It's not fully, completely harmful. There's benefit in it as well. This is what we mean by fitna, test, trial, challenge. Something in which there's positives, there's benefits, but at the same time, there is a lot of harm in it. A lot of harm. And a person has to really, really be careful and protect themselves. This is what you call a fitna. The Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam called women fitna for men. That doesn't mean it's bad. Every woman is bad. Astaghfirullah. How can you say that? Sisters are listening, by the way, brothers. You see, women are fitna, like they're bad. No, meaning women are a test for a man. They could be good for you. If you get married to a good woman, she can be good for you. It could be your Jannah in dunya and akhirah. But there's also tests and trials as well. They could destroy your life for you as well. Or you could destroy your life through them. This is what you call a test. This whole internet industry and the social media that we are experiencing, we are living in right now, and life is moving so fast, so fast. It's hard to keep up with what's going on in the world now. It's moving so fast. A great test. There's benefit. We can use all of this positively. Of course there's benefit. Even in things which are haram, some of the things, there's benefit. You know, clear haram in Islam, those things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited, Allah says in the Quran, يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْخَمْرِ وَالْمَيْسِرِ. They ask you about khamr, wine, alcohol, والميسر, gambling. قُلْ فِيهِمَا إِثْمٌ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Say, O Messenger, in these two things, there's great harm. Ithm here refers to harm. It's dangerous for you. It's bad for you. It's evil. It's sinful. But وَمَنَافِعُ لِلنَّاسِ. Even in alcohol and wine, there are benefits for the people. There are benefits in alcohol. And sometimes we need to use alcohol. Sometimes in medication and some other things. And it becomes permitted in certain cases. You know, there's detailed fiqh behind it. But the point here is that it's not absolutely harmful totally. There's benefits. But then Allah says, وَإِثْمُهُمَا أَكْبَرُ مِن نَفْعِهِمَا. That's the point. The harms outweigh the benefit. And that's why it has been prohibited for you. It has been made haram for you because the ithm, the harm, outweighs the benefit. If we apply the same analogy to the internet and the smartphones and the not so smartphones. They ask you about the smartphone. Say in the smartphone. I mean, I don't think you should say it like that because you're trying to, you know, make it like a verse of the Quran. But the same thing, point. About this internet and the smartphone and that we have. It has benefits, also harm. Now, the question is, in terms of whether it's actually permissible or halal to use this or not, same criteria. Does the harm benefit, the harm outweigh the benefit, or the benefit outweigh the harm? Now, nobody can give a fatwa or a ruling, nobody, because it's left to each individual. The ruling will change based on each individual person. For some people, keeping a smartphone, a mobile phone, and you being attached to the internet is probably harmful. There's more harms, and because there's more harms, it's haram. We have to think about this, that sometimes having a smartphone is probably unlawful for us. Nobody can decide. Istafti qalbak. Ask your own heart. Everyone needs to decide and judge for their own selves. For some people it's unlawful, for some people it's lawful. It depends. So this is something that we really, it's a massive, massive challenge. Especially with our youngsters, with our children, with our youth. Parents really need to, like the brother was saying, that's another challenge, you tie it in. There are many, many harms attached to it. One of the main harms attached to the internet world and the smartphone is the issue of addiction. This is highly addictive, highly, super highly addictive. It's more addictive than drugs. People can't leave this for a second. We all know, we have a bit of addiction, I'm talking about myself as well. Some sort of addiction we all have, like always it's in our hand. Imagine before we used to move around and walk around without something being attached to us. This is straight away, as soon as in the salah, there. In the car, there. It's just there with me. It's like your heart and soul and life. Everything's in here. Everything mine, this belongs to me. Without this, I'm half dead. I can't be alive. This is my soul. This is how the world has become. This is my soul. My ruh, my spirit, my soul, my life. Everything is this. Without this, I am. If I lose this, imagine if I lose this, and I have a lot of scares like that because, you know, I misplace things quite a bit. Where's my phone gone? It's like half of my life's gone. Everything's in here. The addiction, the connection, the attachment, is it taking us away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it taking away from our real life relationships? Is it taking away us from our families, our children? How much time do we have? How much time do we spend with real life interactions? People are more, they give more time to those who are in their phones than those who are in front of them. We give more time. I was thinking this, that why do we like people in our phone more than people in front of us? Why? Are the people in the phones better? Are they more nicer or are they better? There's people in front of you, but we give more attention to those who are on Snapchat or Twitter or Facebook or WhatsApp or somewhere. Why are they more important than those right in front of us? Why? That's a question. There is an answer for it as well. The answer for that is basically because the people in front of us, they irritate us. They might say something. We don't have those life skills to talk to them. It's easy to converse with, communicate with people who are not in front of us. It's like, you know, there's people who go, they live an imaginary life. They look different to what they look in real life. You can change the color of your eyes. You can change the complexion. You can do all this filtering on Snapchat and all these places. They feel good about themselves. A lot of the females, they are unhappy with how they look, how they are, how their relationship is, how their marriage is, how their friendship is. This is an imaginary virtual world. This is, I look different to what I am really. It's a whole different imaginary world. And they become used to the imaginary world. It's all in the brain. And there's people, they talk to people, they might say, wow, you look amazing. You look amazing. No one in real life tells you you look amazing. So they want to get all the upliftment and all this thing in from the phone. It's quite dangerous. People have lost real life skills. They've lost confidence, real life confidence, being able to talk, converse with people. They become introverts, they become so quiet in their own world. They rather go into the bedroom and close the door and then just go in there and talk to thousands of people. And then the brain is what we say in Arabic, mushawwa, like confused, it's everywhere. You know, I mentioned this once recently that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not create our brain to be connected to thousands of people at the same time. It's like our brain, we've got wires. Like, just imagine, this is a human brain, and there's 4 billion wires, like, oh, wires going, one's going to Australia, one's going to New Zealand, and this wire is like, the whole world to the brain. It's going to get ill and sick, the brain. Imagine being connected to thousands of people at the same time. We will get ill and sick. This is the reason why people get depressed. One of the greatest illnesses of today's time is not cancer. One of the greatest illnesses is depression, anxiety, depression, mental health. And there are studies, experts will tell you the same thing. The reason for mental health, the main primary reason for mental health issues is the online world, social media. The brain was not designed to be connected with so many people at the same time. And this is why I always tell my friends that, look, try to minimize all of this, what I'm saying. We can't get rid of this. If you can, alhamdulillah, and that's, mashallah, you know, that's an amazing level. And there are people, I have friends, I know. I have a friend who's a doctor, a known him for many, many years in the UK. Still has a big, thick Nokia phone, just no smartphone. He said, I will never have a smartphone in my life. Until now, he has not got a smartphone. If I need to do email, he's a doctor, professional doctor, surgery, he has patients. He has a laptop or a computer at home. Go out, it's appointed time, email, whatever I need to do, that's it. But no smartphone. Lives a very pure life. Very, you can see the difference in the way he is. There are lots of people like that. So, if you can, that's great. But for majority of the people, it's going to be difficult. Yeah, I have a phone as well. It's very difficult. But the point is that we need to really, really manage our usage. Addiction is a massive problem. And along with addiction, there's wastage of time. A lot of time. You know, the way this gets addicted, it's honestly, it's so dangerous. You go on these, like, now they've started all the shorts and stuff like that. So you look at one video, next one. It's happened to me as well. I'm telling you through experience once, like, and then next one. Astaghfirullah, I just throw my phone away. Like, what's happening? 20 minutes has gone of my life. وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. Why do we want to look at everyone, someone jumping and someone doing this? Like, we're better than that. We've got a purpose in life. Why waste away precious minutes that Allah has given us? وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرِ. Allah took an oath by the time. Man, insan is in khusr, khusran. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. So this addiction, minimize. WhatsApp is very common, right? I honestly really urge and request, try to minimize usage of WhatsApp. As less groups you are part of, the better for your function, for your brain, for your sanity, for your health, for everything. I, until now, cannot fathom or understand how a person could be in more than 10 groups with hundreds of people. I don't know how someone can do it. Alhamdulillah, I'm just on one group, one and a half group. The other one is like sometimes, but I have a status on my WhatsApp. Please do not add me to any group. Please do not as in big capitals. Do not add me to any group. If anyone does, I block them straight away. Because that's also, there's etiquettes as well. That's another topic. There are etiquettes of using. Maybe that's a different point that I can come to. But I don't want to go into too much detail. I don't want to do a long talk. But there's another whole discussion about the adab of using the phone. There's books written on this topic in Arabic, in Urdu, in other languages. I saw one book, something, Al-Jawab al-Shaf fi Adab al-WhatsApp. Al-Jawab al-Kafi al-Shaf fi Adab WhatsApp. Etiquettes, adab of using WhatsApp. One of the etiquettes is that do not add people to groups without seeking the permission. It's unlawful, you're inconveniencing others. Some people broadcast messages. Every 2-3 days, a message. Have you asked the person permission? Every few minutes, without seeking permission, sending the messages. Even if it's Islamic. Unless that person is your good friend and you know them, or they have told you, yeah, add me. But just keep on, even if it's Islamic, it's not like you keep on sending messages. You can inconvenience others. So there's also etiquettes. But the point I was saying here, the addiction and the wastage of time, try to minimize. Just go through the groups like, I don't need to be in this, I don't need to be in this. There's so much information. It's going to hurt the brain. Just go and sit on a beach and take some fresh air and, you know, enjoy, you know, the beauty, the nature that Allah has given, and, you know, real life. Spend time with the family. Every family should have a gadget-free zone. Every family should have at least an hour or two which is gadget-free zone. Which means everyone, the father, the mother, the husband, the wife, and the children, everybody puts their phone away. Not just put it away, switch it off. That's it. We should be role models. The father should have my phone off. What time is it? 7 p.m. This is the time. Nobody uses any gadgets in our house. Switch off on top. There should be one place. Everybody, go. Maybe in that time you can have a dinner together, a meal together, where people actually talk to one another. Families eat, but everyone's on their own phone. Like, everyone's eating, Gee, it's crazy, isn't it? Husband, wives are WhatsApping each other. She's upstairs and she's WhatsApping and messaging, text messaging. Downstairs. People, this I heard as well recently, A'udhu billah. People take this in the washroom, in the toilet. They are sitting in the toilet for half an hour on the phone. Shaitan is making a stay there in this filthy place for a longer period because people are on their phones. Reading stuff in the toilet. That's a place not to go and relax and, you know, I know they call it a rest room, but you're not supposed to go and rest there. That's what, it's not a resting place. In the hadhil, it's a hadith, muhtadara, something muhtadara. These places are attended by the shaitan, filthy places. That's why we read the dua. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal khubuthi wal khaba'ith. Khubuth is a plural of khabith. Khabith here is referring to a male shaitan, jinn. And khaba'ith is a plural of khabitha. So, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika minal khubuth wal khaba'ith. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from male and female shayateen. Because that's where they live, in filthy, dirty places. Go in the toilet as soon as the job is done. We need to get out of there. So this can be very, very addictive. Very addictive. When it's addictive, then we will neglect our family, we'll neglect our real things of life, we'll neglect our children, we won't have time. You know, with the tarbiyah of children as well, if we're talking to our children and they talk to us, one of the worst mistakes we can make, and if we constantly do this, is when our children come to talk to us and we don't give them the attention and we stay on this. Okay, if something's important, you can say, okay, son, just wait 2 minutes. I need to finish this off. When I finish this message off, I'll come to you. Finish it off, switch off. Yes, now tell me. Now give them full attention. They get frustrated. They come to the mother, they're talking, and I want to say, there's no time. They get frustrated. They get frustrated with their parents. Because the parents, they're not giving attention. And then also with our children, we need to be very, very, very careful. There's so much, things are changing on a daily basis. There's so much there. All this, like I said, social media, this TikToks, and I've never been on TikTok, but I don't know what TikTok is. But I know it's something which is very short. They go onto all these things and they see different types of people, different things, and then we know we can, I don't want to be too explicit, but it's a lot of harmful and unlawful and evil things. It can take away the iman, it can take away the haya, the modesty, the spirituality, the everything. They can start building relationships, friendships with people. From all, you know, one of the basic forms of tarbiyah was the parents should be very careful. They should be very careful in terms of who their children befriend. They should find good sohba and good friends for their children. If they're on the internet, if they're on the online world, we don't know who they are friends with. What's this other thing that people go on? A lot of children go on. No. I've said Snapchat. Instagram. But no, this is not social. It's something else. It's
Roblox.
Sorry.
Roblox.
Maybe Roblox, but there's another thing. I remember first time my son went on Twitter. A'udhu billah, I nearly got a heart attack. Discord. And I deleted it from the laptop which I bought him for school work, absolutely deleted. That was, you know, 2 years ago. And that was one day he went on it, and from then, never ever. Never. No, not allowed. No Snapchat. None of these things. And I got a shock going on to Discord. I was really like taken aback. Who is he talking to? There's non-Muslims and Muslims, and you know, people, the iman, they can lose it. They don't even know who that person they're talking to is. There might be somebody who's saying, "I'm your 13-year-old friend." It could be a 75-year-old man on the other part of the world pretending to be a 13-year-old boy. No one knows who's who. So it's very dangerous. We as parents really need to be careful. And these children, their brain, because they are brought up with this, so their brain is super fast. They understand these things better. We're a bit slow with this. You know, you'll see sometimes a 2-year-old, 3-year-old kid, I'm just like, so fast with the phone, because they're born with that. They will create accounts and things that we don't even know about, hidden somewhere, computer, software or something, and there'll be a name and some password, and you don't know what's in that file. That's why sometimes we want to give them the dunya, but when we give them the dunya, we take away all the akhirah and even much of the dunya away. Do not succumb to the demands of your children. "Dad, I want this, I want this, I want this." We won't give them a knife. "Dad, I want a knife, I want a gun." No matter how much we love, we know what's harmful for them. We explain to the children, "We love you, of course, but it's for your own good. Because we love you, this is not right for you. This is harmful for you." Don't get children smartphones and iPhones from a young age. I am of the opinion that until 18, 19, they should not be given their own phone. At least 18, 19, they should not be having their own phone. How can they have their own phone in their bedroom before going to sleep? They should never have access to online in their own room with the door closed. They take a phone in their bedroom before sleeping and just put that Wi-Fi off. At night, Wi-Fi is switched off in the house. It's really dangerous. So this addiction and this whole... the social media world as well, it's crazy. It's really bad. People form relationships and then it's an imaginary world, like I said. There's people who get married on social media, but they'll never see each other. It's like imaginary marriage. Imaginary marriage on the other side of the world, from down under to up under. So that's the main, you know, this addiction and this harm that we see. And like I said, mental health is affected. One of the reasons for mental health is because we see too much. The brain is connected. There's too much comparing of life. And now I'm talking about even adults. It's not just children, even adults. See, we have to remember, we need to be good role models. We can't start being strict with the children. No Discord, no this, no this. But we're all the time ourselves on Instagram and Snapchat and Twitter and Facebook. Then what good example are the parents giving? So if we want to protect our children, we need to practice ourselves. The first step of tarbiyah is be good role models. To be good role models. So this is even for the adults. Comparing lives. Comparing lives. You know, people go on social media and they see like their friends, they're going to a restaurant, and then the wife comes to the husband, "Oh, they're eating in a restaurant." You're just seeing all the restaurant pictures. You didn't see when he punched her. They took nice naps and everything and put it on Facebook. But then the fight or the argument they had just after when they went home, they're not putting that on the Facebook. Never compare our lives with the lives of others. Do not compare your house to other people's house. Do not compare your car to the car of other people. Don't compare your marriage to the marriage of other people. Don't compare your wife with someone else's wife. Don't compare your husband with someone else's husband. No, not your children with anyone else's children. Everyone's different. And rather, you know, the hadith, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that in the dunya, "Unduru ila man huwa asfala minkum." Look at people below you in the dunya. Do not look at people above you. Look at people below you. We in this, you know, first world countries, in the modern world, we are, all of us, are probably better than 70-80% of people living in other parts of the world. But we always look at people above us. لا تنظروا إلى من هو فوقكم. Words of the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Sahih Muslim. فَإِنَّهُ أَجْدَرُ I can't call Arabic here, but this will make you grateful, more likely to make you grateful to the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's another hadith where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that if you happen to see someone, so intentionally do not go and see people better than you, well off than you. But if you happen to see, you didn't specifically go, but you happen to see someone in a better state. If you just came out of the masjid here and you just saw a Ferrari, it came to you. Then the hadith says, then go specifically seek out people below you after that. Think about people who don't even have a car, people who are in prisons, people who can't have barely anything to eat, you know, they are in poverty. All of this makes you grateful to the ni'mah of Allah. Social media is completely opposite. It's completely opposite to that. Because you're seeing everything and anything deliberately, intentionally, and it makes us really in an uncertain state. And then also the fact that now people can't be happy in life, and I was talking about this the other day, without broadcasting their life. I mentioned this the other day in the talk. We need to learn to be happy without having the need to share what food I'm eating. If there's a need to share some pictures and things like that for some benefit, proper worldly benefit, you've got a business or something like that, that's part of your business, you need to put something up or something like that, or if it's an Islamic issue, if there's a proper benefit, then fine. But if there's not benefit, it's just wanting. This is what Snapchat is about. People just take pictures and videos like, this is what I'm doing, this is what I'm eating, this is what I went to the toilet, I burped, I passed wind. This is what I'm doing. Or anything good, or these are the chocolates I'm eating. Before you used to just eat it, but now until people don't know that I'm doing this, I'm not happy. So we need to learn how to be happy without people knowing about this. This goes back to this, you know, how will people knowing about our lives? So mental health is an issue, addiction is an issue, life comparing is an issue, and one of the worst thing is people become apostates. They leave Islam. Social media and the internet world is one of the most powerful means of people leaving deen and iman. There are actually accounts made by those who are enemies of Islam. Dedicated accounts to carefully target young Muslims. They pretend sometimes to be Muslims, placing doubts into the minds of the hearts of the Muslims. Question you your religion, question you about everything. We have no control. Suhba, we make sure our children are going to the masjid and they stay in our environment, but there's another world that they are living in. We have no control over it. And then we complain one day if one of our children, a'udhu billah, Allah forbid, they come and say, oh, your son comes and says that I'm your daughter. It's dangerous. But the responsibility is that from the beginning we make sure. Sometimes we don't wake up until the boat has gone sailing. It's too late. When our children become 18, 19, and then we see all these things, then we say, oh, what's happened? It's too long, it's too late now. Tarbiyah starts from a young age, from the beginning, from when they're 1, 2, 3, from we need to protect them. So there are lots of harms of the whole social media world. And there's so many other things as well. But I think, inshallah, we get the point with these few aspects of social media. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman, protect the iman of our children, and give us the good understanding of deen. Make us prosperous in this life, make us prosperous in the next life. Life is too short to waste away on social media, on the internet, generally. Inshallah ta'ala, I think I'm going to end with this. I gave a very short talk today, I think. And shorter than normal days, so is it the same? How long have I spoken for? How many? 20 minutes? Alhamdulillah. So inshallah, but anyway, if I think anyone has any questions, we can take 5-10 minutes of questions and then we'll end with that, inshallah. Jazakumullahu khairan.
What is your general understanding towards after having kids? How tarbiyah should be done? What's the general formula? What would you suggest to people?
Yeah, that's a very, you know, like, general question which requires, but general formula, there's lots of things. One of the main things is that make sure that the children stay in good sohbah, good companionship. Bringing them to the masjid, always attaching themselves to the people of deen, to the masjid, to pious people, taking them to good gatherings. Giving them time, very important. This is what I'm saying, giving them time. Children need time, we need to spend time with them. At least one meal, you know, there's no like extra things, just basic things. At least one meal as a family, people should have one meal a day where everybody eats together. At least one meal. We should try that. At least one meal where the husband, wife, mother, father, children, everyone, they sit together and they have a meal together. So things like that. And then slowly, slowly give them Islamic education, secular education. When they become 7 years, the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in a hadith, "Muru awladakum bis salati wa hum abna'u sab'a sinin." When they're 7 years old, command them to pray. So, you know, start and they start praying. Bring in their hearts love for deen, for Islam, for the masjid, for pious people, for the scholars, for books, for the book of Allah. And inshallah, you will see that these things will rub off on them in a nice way, inshallah. I said half of the hadith, yeah. I never said that because it will require more questions. Sorry?
At the age of 10, wadrubuhum, is it meant like the actual act of birth, or that could be like a birth as well, or not going to suffer or something?
You see, the word darb is a very general term. Without a doubt, it doesn't mean aggressive hitting. That's haram. You know, there's numerous other hadiths as well that talk about like you can't injure them or anything like that. That's the word darb really means, because it's also used for وَلَّاتِ تَخَافُونَ نُشُزَهُنَّ فَعِذُهُنَّ وَهْجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِعِ وَاضْرِبُوهُنَّ. So it's used there as well. The meaning of that is not really the physical aspect of it, but it's more like the psychological aspect of it. So you're a father or you're a mother who is always very calm, or your husband very calm, you never even raise your voice at all. But one day, you know, if they are doing something wrong, it's like putting your hand like this on them. You mean business. This is someone who doesn't even raise their voice. So kind and sweet and compassionate and merciful, so loving and so caring. You just have to look at them like this. Sometimes, this is tarbiyah, sometimes the father just has to just look. That's it. Nothing else. So this is that type of darb. That's why some of the narrations say it's like a siwak. So it's just like a tap. Especially in the wadribuhunna, mufassirun, when they explain in the books of tafsir, قال مجاهد وقال وقال, they say like a siwak, it's like just a tap. So it's not the physical injury, because that's not the objective. So psychological hit, we can't change the translation of the word. It means darb, yeah? It doesn't mean something else, but The explanation of the darb is that it's a more of a psychological thing. So, but there shouldn't be a need for that. You know, inshallah, if you do the tarbiyah, then you just have to tell them and they will pray, inshallah.
Have you got any incident or anything that you
Yeah, I can't recall right now. Probably he never said no to anyone. This is what it was. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, brother. Yeah, that's a massive problem. You see, a good tarbiyah of children is only really properly possible when both the mother and father are on board. They are on the same team. If the father is on another team and the mother is on another team, then a lot of things are not going to work. So beforehand, they both need to try to get onto the same team, do a transfer. You know, and either you transfer to her team or she transfers to your team, but someone has to transfer. I think just generally come to an understanding that, look, for the sake of our children, let's see. If there's disagreements, then let's say that let's go and speak to some experts, put someone else in the middle, people who are experts in the field, people who are good, maybe imams or religious people, but it doesn't always have to be imams, even experts. Let's go and talk to them what's really harmful and what's not harmful, and then once you do that, then you both need to be together on the same, page. Sometimes it happens. You know, it's like one spouse is always using the phone and always on the phone and always on social media and Snapchat as well. It's like, the words as well is chat, Snapchat. It's just chatting away, chat. WhatsApp as well. It's from the word WhatsApp. That's what's up, and that's it. Just so we should really limit our time on WhatsApp as well. Just constant messaging is not good. You know, I was saying once in a talk that if you really need to talk, just pick up the phone and make a phone call. What you will message each other for 5 hours, if you just pick up the phone, you can talk about that in 10 minutes. Assalamu alaikum, alaikum salam, how are you? I'm good, alhamdulillah, great. What are you cooking? Oh, what are you doing? Do. 2 hours of conversation. If you picked up the phone, assalamu alaikum, in 10 minutes, that whole conversation. Try it. Check your 2 hours of messaging and just talk to each other, just read those out, and in 10 minutes that will be done. Time is short, time is limited. So long, drawn out messaging, it wastes a lot of time. And what we need to also do, that we should try to have some things, important things, objectives in life, that you're so busy that you don't have time for all of this. If you're so busy with other things, we should inculcate the love of reading books in our children, along with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Islamic books, Seer of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But also, if there are other books, beneficial books, you can vet the books, read yourself the book, find out what the book is about. Be careful about books as well. Yeah, they can't just read any book. So you should. My daughter loves to read, but I go with her to the library, and I make sure, and I read the blurb, and then I'll browse through the book, and that's why then I know what the storyline is, etc. And then if I see that it, because sometimes the messages given in these books are also very, very problematic. So once you know that the message is good, then you give that book. Say, read. It's good to read, it's good for them to read books if it's a non-Islamic book. So these type of things for children, for ourselves as well, if we have objectives in life and things to do and we get busy, get them involved with activities in the local masjid. students and children groups, and you know, get them busy with that. They have a focus, they have something, an aim and goal. Even if it's showing off, no problem. Young children, you know, ikhlas and all that, that comes afterwards. You don't have to worry, 5 year old, like, I'm doing it for Allah. It's like, just do it, show off, you're the best. Like, yeah, show off in front of the people, and like, you can read the best Quran, and you can read the best, you know, so much hadith. Put a challenge to them. Let's see if you can memorize 100 hadiths in 2 months. How many hadiths are you going to memorize in Arabic? لا تغضب كن في الدنيا كأنك غريب إنما أعمل بالنيات. Every day one hadith, along with recitation of the Book of Allah and memorizing that. There's so many things we can do. Inshallah ta'ala, may Allah make it easy for us. It's a test, it's a trial, it's difficult in these times. It's a massive test. Inshallah, we can end with that. جزاك الله خير أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله.